ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that. If it ain't dry.
Thank you very much, Bob, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant Father's Day today, and congratulations to all the wonderful fathers out there. So please, if you have an hour of your time to spare tonight, give it to us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. That's very, very important. So give us a call at 415-841-4134. And again, that's 415-841-4134. We thought Jerry was going to be here, but he might be a little bit late. But Leah Garchik is here, so we will make the most of our limited panel. And do our best for you. So I do want to remind you that Minds Over Matter will be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, food, television, radio, and everything else. So again, our email address is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. That's mindsovermatter, one word, at yahoo.com. Also, if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it at kalw.org. That's kalw.org. Excuse me. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, you can certainly get one afterwards by going to kalw.org. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And Leah Garchik was enchanted on Saturday by the magic flute and is hoping to become Facebook friends with the Queen of the Night.
Yeah, she was terrific.
There must be more than one of those. I don't know.
Queen of the Night?
Yeah.
I bet.
But there are a lot of people that call themselves the Queen of the
Night. Sounds pretty racy. Probably in the Yellow Pages, too, actually.
Okay.
Our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, left the Eurozone 2 years ago thanks to his lack of an effective austerity program.
All right. So that is us. And we begin the questioning with Leah Garchik.
Oh, it's so quick without
Jerry. I know.
Okay. Let's get into it right away. Thank you, Gregory Mantel, for this question. Let's... can you name the top five schools in the world and Nobel laureates? And I'm not going to go one by one. I'll just say, okay, in no order, okay?
Okay?
Just name the top five, yes or and I'll say yes or no.
Oh, so you mean you have to get them all?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough, because there are a lot of schools in the world, you know.
Well.
Couldn't you break it up?
How about the top three?
All right. I'm pretty sure Cambridge is one, and UC Berkeley, and Cambridge, UC Berkeley, and Stanford.
No.
All right.
I'll say two out of three wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Why don't you repeat the question?
We'd be like Lotto, playing Lotto.
Okay.
Or is it Jotto? You know that game. Anyway, the top three universities in the world based on Nobel Prizes. Okay?
Okay, so just Nobel Prize winners who happen to be there teaching or whatever.
How many prize winners does each of those...
Okay.
A note has just come in.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Jerry's been in an accident. It can't be too serious because he called. He's not injured, so he probably won't be able to make it tonight, so we hope he's fine. The AAA has been called.
Oh.
All right.
What a drag. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the top three universities in their tallies of Nobel Prize winners.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. All right, I have a couple questions. I have some food questions, or sort of food questions, tonight. What is the most widely eaten fruit in the world?
Bananas.
No. No. What is the most widely eaten fruit in the world? Second question.
Meaning, has people from the most countries eating it?
Tonnage, yeah, probably. And second question, we all know the chef's tall hat, which is, my French, toque, yes. And why are traditionally, are there 100 pleats in that hat?
Oh, what an interesting question.
Yeah, I just found this today. I thought that was interesting.
100 pleats in where the top part goes
right.
into the rim.
Yeah, right.
Because 99 would be not enough and 101 would be too many. I don't know. Can I guess again on the fruit?
Yes.
Is it a like guava or something like that? Or
no.
Papaya?
Mm-mm. Again, so what is the most widely eaten fruit in the world? And second question, the chef's tall hat, what's it called? Toque? Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Toque has traditionally 100 pleats in it. Why does it have 100 pleats in it?
Let me just ask you one thing, which this isn't, we're not going to get into tomatoes being fruit or vegetable, are we?
Yes, we are.
Okay, tomatoes.
Tomato, all right. All right, there you go.
Okay.
All right, it is a fruit, so
yeah, that's fair to ask.
Okay, let me ask one other then, since you got that. All right, what is the most popular berry in the United States to eat, obviously? What is the most popular and most widely eaten berry in the United States?
Strawberry.
No. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
I have one guess for the one of the three schools of producing Nobel laureates.
But I'm looking for all three.
Well, let him guess.
Yeah, guess. Go on.
All right. All
Have
right.
a good time.
My guess is Caltech.
That's good. Give him a break on this. Just tell him yes or no.
No.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right.
Thanks. All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Garrett from San Mateo.
Hi, Garrett.
I have a correction to make. Last week you had a caller talk about Rockefeller Center opening up in 1935. Ron.
Okay.
Rockefeller Center actually opened up in 1939.
All right.
And it was the project of Johnny Rockefeller Jr. A lot of people would think that the father had something to do with it, but no way. Got a couple questions.
Okay.
My first one, this is a revised version of a question I asked previously, but what do both Shemp Howard, Jackie Gleason, and Aaron Spelling had in common?
Shemp Howard, Jackie Gleason, and Aaron Spelling.
Who's the first?
Common.
Shemp Howard, one of the Three Stooges at some point. Shemp Howard, Jackie Gleason, and Aaron Spelling. What they all have in common? I don't know. Can you give us a hint on that?
It was a fear.
Oh, a fear. They didn't like getting slapped.
No, that wasn't it.
No.
They had a fear of flying.
Oh, all right.
And here's another question. Who has the distinction of having a Billboard, having an album in the Billboard Top 10 album chart for 13 weeks?
Who was the, I didn't hear the first part of that.
Who has the distinction of having a chart in the Billboard Top 10 album chart that was there for the Top 10 for 13 weeks?
Distinction. 13 weeks. I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know?
Nope.
It's related to the other question I asked. One of the three people.
Shemp Howard. No.
No.
Jackie Gleason.
Right. You know what the album was?
No.
Use it for lovers only.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call at 415-841-4134. I have some lines open, 415-841-4134. Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What was responsible for gays being, San Francisco being so closely identified with a place where many gay people lived?
Say that again. Maybe I didn't quite get that.
Why is San Francisco a place that so many gay people live? What historically contributed to that?
Hmm. Does it have anything to do with the gold rush and there being so many more men than women at that point? And no?
No.
Traditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Traditionally. I don't know.
I think in this answer we should give half bells at least for creativity. So it could be
anything to do with Oscar Wilde? It's sort of a weird.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
All right. Okay. Just read it once more for people, please.
Okay. Why did San Francisco become a gay mecca?
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, it's Kevin in Los Angeles.
Hey, Kevin.
I think I know the most popular berry.
Okay.
In America, right?
Yeah. Did I say America?
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did.
Bananas.
That's true. Yes. Okay. Bananas, a berry family fruit.
Yep.
Well.
And strawberries aren't.
Right.
What are strawberries?
I don't know. There's some other type of fruit. Mm. I don't remember offhand. I asked a question a couple months ago about berries, but I can't remember what they were.
Good job.
Anyway.
Yes.
So thanks. I got the names of two character actors mm-hmm. that I'm looking for, and I will give you their birth names and see if you can get them.
All right. Jerry's not here to help us, but do your best. Okay. We'll see.
Okay. William Andrew Jones. And Ralph Verone.
Ooh, I hate to say it, but neither one of those sound familiar to me. William Andrew Jones. Can you give me any other kind of hint to go with that?
Okay, for William Andrew Jones, your clue is Murgatroyd.
Murgatroyd.
I'll give you a second clue, I guess.
Yes.
Busy, busy, busy.
Oh, so it's a comic character actor.
Yeah.
All right. Busy, busy, busy. It's not Billy DeWolf or something like that.
It's Billy DeWolf.
All right.
Mrs. Murgatroyd was his character.
Right. Okay.
Shows and commercials.
All right. Thanks for the hint.
Now he did a voice on the popular kids animated TV special, Christmas special, in the late 60s.
Billy DeWolf did?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Whose lead character was voiced by Ralph Verone.
Oh. It's a Christmas special, you say?
Yeah.
And is it one of those that gets repeated every year?
Yeah.
So it's like, not Frosty the Snowman.
It's Frosty the Snowman.
Okay.
They play Frosty the Snowman.
Oh, I thought Frosty the Snowman was Jackie. Well, that's Jackie Vernon.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. Right. All right. Thanks for holding my hand and leading me through it. There you go.
Well, Jerry wasn't there and I have anything else prepared.
All right.
See you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to give us a call, it's 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. You are listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. Our panel tonight is just two, actually. Jerry couldn't be here at the last minute. Leah Garchik, of course, writes her column for the San Francisco Chronicle Monday through Friday. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And let's see. Was it my turn? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not?
All right. It doesn't matter. Just the two of us. All right. This is really a Jerry question, but I think you might know some of this. Only two performers have won a Tony Award for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex. Only two performers have won a Tony Award for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex. I don't mean cross-dressing. I mean they were actually playing, like a female was playing a male or a male was playing a female all the way through.
Mm. Peter Pan?
Yes.
Mary Martin?
Mary Martin, yes. Very good. Good, that's one. All right. I'll leave the other one to the audience. But yes, so only two performers have won Tony Awards for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex. Not cross-dressing, just playing that an opposite sex character. Leah got Mary Martin for Peter Pan. Who's the other?
You don't want me to guess on the other?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll let somebody else.
Because I'm probably wrong.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert.
Hi, Robert.
And God, the things you learn on the show, I never knew a banana was a berry.
See?
I would have said cranberry, but I was wrong. Okay, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Franklin wrote The Way to Wealth as well as Poor Richard's Almanac, and Richard was featured in both. What was Richard's last name?
Oh, Poor Richard. What was Poor Richard's last name? Huh.
Oh.
That's an excellent question.
So he was a real person?
Well, no, he was a
character.
Fictional. He was a character that Franklin created.
Oh, but he created him with a last.
Would the last name have any particular meaning to it?
I'm sure with Franklin being as clever as he is, there's something there. Maybe someone can figure it out, but it's, no, I can't figure it out.
Okay. Would you consider it a common American name?
Yes.
Okay.
Dawkins.
Probably of Scandinavian origin.
Oh. Richard.
Nelson.
Johnson.
No.
Anderson.
No.
Oh, we're just guessing.
Olson.
Olson. Yeah. No, we don't know. I'm sorry.
Saunders. S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S.
Oh, Richard Saunders.
Yeah, I picked up a little book at a flea market today, and when I saw the pack, it was signed Richard Saunders.
Oh.
Did you go to Alameda?
It was in Alameda. Not a flea market, but a garage sale.
Okay. All right, yeah, we have a lot of them in town. Yes, I'm an Alameda guy. Okay, well, that's a good question. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Bye. Good night.
All right, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name's Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, I have an answer to the 100 pleats in the chef's hat.
Good, because Leah was very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I believe that it's because the perfect souffle should have 100 ripples or waves in it.
No.
Shoot, okay.
I thought you were going to say that to make the perfect souffle, you would beat the egg whites 100 times.
Well, that's a good guess, but no.
Mm.
No. Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
It is kind of shaped like a souffle.
It is a little bit.
The toque.
Not my kind of souffle. Mine never get that high. But yes, it is a little bit shaped like that. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. To echo that previous caller, things you learn on the show. A couple of years ago, there was a question of what was the most popular fruit, and the answer in the world, the answer was coffee.
Oh, well, I think this is
well,
the
that
most
was
widely
then. This
eaten.
Is now.
This was the most widely eaten fruit.
Ah, because that was one of my favorite answers ever. I use it all the time on people.
Oh, all right. So now you can just say that's the most widely drunk fruit, and this is the most widely eaten fruit. So there you go.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And Leah, it's your turn.
Okay. I'm going to go back for a second to this list of Nobel winners. In the top 10, there's only one that's not in Britain or the United States. What would that be?
There's only one school that you're or university that is not in Britain or the United States that has the most Nobel Prize winners.
It's the sixth.
Okay. How many does it have? Just out of curiosity. You can tell us that.
54.
Really? Oh. Hmm. Well. Huh. The Sorbonne.
No.
All right. Mm-mm. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Robert and Karen in Burl Heights.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Karen.
And we'll take a wild guess at the three Nobel schools.
Yes.
Berkeley, Chicago, and Oxford, Cambridge.
Well, you can't combine those two.
Well, Oxon.
Oxon Bayou? No.
Two out of three of those is right, but one is not.
All right. We were also thinking MIT as a possibility.
Nope.
So I have a question for you all.
Yeah.
All right.
The Scripps National Spelling Bee wrapped up recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about expanding the number of countries that participate, but it's already an international competition.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you know which countries other than the U.S. participate? And they're not all English-speaking countries.
Oh. Canada.
Canada is one.
But they're not all English-speaking countries.
They are not.
Are they? Are there some countries where English is, although it may not be the official language, it's,
like
it's
India?
Still widely spoken?
India is not one of them. So, no, generally, I was really surprised by most of these. There are a couple of other English-speaking countries. Well, one other. Two other.
Perhaps the Bahamas or...
That's one.
All right.
So you got the first two in alphabetical order.
All right. Australia or New Zealand? No, because I wouldn't...
One, not Australia.
All right.
So three, there's four. One, two, three, four, five more.
Not Australia, but New Zealand, you said?
Yes,
okay.
New Zealand. There's one other where I believe English is the main language.
Guam?
No.
No, it's... Okay, English is the main language. Well, I mean, the UK?
No.
No
UK countries.
No UK countries.
Although some former... Well,
Canada
Canada. New Zealand.
Yeah.
Is there another Caribbean country on that list?
There is.
Jamaica.
You got it.
All right.
And the other four are not English-speaking countries, at least primarily.
Could China be one?
China is one.
Oh, my goodness.
Keep going along that line.
They're going to take over.
Vietnam?
No.
China. The Philippines?
No.
Japan?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep going along that line.
Singapore?
No.
Korea? South Korea.
South Korea. Right. So the only one left is in Africa.
Okay.
Oh, South Africa? No.
No.
So it's probably an ex-British colony, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. I believe so.
Zimbabwe?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. No.
Zambia?
Nope.
Malawi?
Just give it to you?
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead.
Because now we're discussing Ghana.
Ghana. All right. Okay.
So it's an international spelling bee.
Good job.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And let's see. I think it's your turn, Leah.
All right. The first railroad from San Francisco to San Jose was built along what street?
Okay.
It's now a street in San Francisco.
So the terminus was on...
The route was
the
on
whole
this
route
street.
Was on...
Well, the length of the street in San Francisco, yeah.
Okay. To San Jose.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the street doesn't continue all the way to San Jose,
right.
But it's San Francisco.
So it's, okay, it's a north-south. Okay, let me think. Mission?
No.
Would have to be south of Market, though, wouldn't it? Is it south of Market, may I ask that?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take one more guess. Let's see. Brannan.
No.
All right. Mm-mm. Why don't you repeat the question?
The first railroad to San Jose from San Francisco was built along what San Francisco street?
Right. What year was that? Do you have a name? Do you have a year?
No. I don't.
Right. 1860s, maybe. 70s?
Yeah, I think earlier, maybe. Mm-hmm. No, it couldn't have been earlier because it wouldn't have been a railroad.
Mm-hmm. It's not terribly important. It'll figure out being
It was along side of a waterway that doesn't exist anymore, of a body of water that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, a body of water that doesn't exist. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a question that I would like to dedicate to Jerry and wish him well.
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to ask you, what is the definition of this word, funambulist? It's spelled F-U-N-A-M-B-U-L-I-S-T.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does sound familiar.
Would you spell it just once more for me?
Yes, F-U-N-A-M-B-U-L-I-S-T.
Is it anything to do with dancing?
No.
Ambulist makes me think it has to do with walking.
You're on the right track with that.
Movement.
Uh-huh. That part is correct. But it's not dancing.
Dedicate to Jerry. Do you have anything to do with Jerry being in an accident?
No, not directly. I just thought this was a question I bet he was going to ask. And so I'm doing
it. Because it was from the Times.
Oh.
From the Times, yes.
Yeah.
But it has to do with movement.
Yes.
Okay. And it's an action. So. F-U-N.
It's something you do standing up?
Well, yes, you probably would do it standing up.
Okay. Anything to do with, but it's nothing, you told me it was nothing to do with dancing.
No, it's not really related to dancing.
Okay.
Or sports in any way.
Well, you might say it's more related to sports than dancing, I would say, but that's kind of subjective.
Maybe the sports, dancing. But it's not a sport itself.
No, it's kind of its own thing.
Okay. No.
Okay. It's tightrope walking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so, or a tightrope walker. And, of course, it came up because of Nick Walenda doing his feat of walking across Niagara Falls.
Right.
So I have a follow-up question, if you'd like. Can you name a woman who walked across Niagara Falls?
Huh. Oh. How long?
Not a Walenda.
How long ago was this?
This was way back in the 19th century.
Okay. And this woman's, we would know this woman's name.
Well, I don't think you would.
Oh.
That would be too easy if you would know it.
But I mean, that was what she was famous for.
Well, insofar as she was famous, she definitely was famous.
Okay. So it wasn't somebody like Nellie Bly or somebody like that.
No. It's
Dottie LaRue.
Yeah. A lot of dimples. Let's see. So, all right. But if that's the only reason we would know her, I probably would not know it.
Well, okay. I didn't want to give you anything too easy. So, shall I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Her name was Maria Spelterini.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
The famous
of the Spelterinis.
Shuffling Spelterinis.
Well, I was quite impressed. There's pictures of her, and she was wearing a very fetching little dress when she did this. So I think she deserves more credit than anybody.
Yeah.
So it was well back in the 19th century that she did it.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, thank you very much, Linda.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Ever Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. The number to join us with a question or answer is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Leah, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. What are the top three schools in the world with in terms of numbers of Nobel winners? And what's the only school in the top 10 of Nobel winners that's neither British nor American? Okay, only university. Why is San Francisco a gay mecca? Nobody's answered any of my questions. And the first railroad from San Francisco to San Jose was built along what present street?
Okay. And only two performers have won a Tony Award for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex, not a cross-dresser, just somebody who is a woman playing a man or a man playing a woman, just for that character. Only two performers have won a Tony Award for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex. Leah got one, which was Mary Martin in Peter Pan. There's a more recent one that's also on that list. So who is that? The chef's tall hat, we all know that tall white hat that the chefs wear, the toque, has traditionally had 100 pleats in it. Why has it had 100 pleats in the chef's tall hat?
May I take a guess at the other person who played someone of the opposite sex?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it the person who played in the Oscar Wilde in The Importance of Being...
Oh, Brian Bedford. No, it was not. No. And let's see. Was that it? Yeah, wait a minute. It seems like I had one more, but maybe I don't. All right. And again, that number is 415-841-4134.
Oh.
Yeah, what?
Wasn't there a... Broadway play based on the movie, or I can't remember whether the movie was based on the play of Victor Victoria.
There was a Broadway play, but that's not it.
That's not it.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed. Good.
Very good. So the street in San Francisco, and I actually know that for a fact, unless you have different answer, have the corresponding of the street name in San Jose. And the name of the street is San Jose in San Francisco, and the opposite end of that street is called Old San Francisco in San Jose. So San Jose and San Francisco, and
no,
Old San Francisco and San Jose.
That's a very interesting
information.
But
you know what? I bet that the root of that, of the street that I have in mind is closer to the center of the city. San Jose doesn't start until San Jose starts at the base of Dolores Street.
Right.
And I think that this street is to the north of that.
It could be. Okay, as far as the university, the one that's not in, the one in the 10 that's not in the United States or England, is it Heidelberg University in Germany?
Yes, you're right.
It is.
Good job.
Okay. And the top universities, the first one should be Columbia, second should be University of Cambridge, and the third should be University of Chicago.
You've got the top three in the wrong order. Cambridge.
But I got them in any case.
Yes, you did.
You know what happened? This thing changed all the time. Okay, one question, then correction from last time. Do you like to put the right order for those guys?
Yes, I'd like to tell you, and also some a kind of misconception that most of us have around here. The first is Cambridge. It has 88 winners. The second is the University of Chicago, 87, and Columbia has 86. It just let me read the rest of the list because it's just kind of interesting, I think. MIT has 78. Oxford has 57. University of Heidelberg has 54, tied with Stanford, which is 54. Yale, 49, Harvard, 48, and Berkeley, 47. I always thought Berkeley had, you know, up there, but it's
I thought that too. But you know why Berkeley doesn't do very well overall? Because most
it still does pretty well. I mean,
it's pretty good, but what I mean is most of the Nobel Prize in science, they're not really well-known in other fields as much.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have two questions. I'm doing them very quickly. One, this illness is easily preventable, but once you show symptoms, there's only one survival in the last 100 years in the U.S. Do you know what illness it is?
So this illness is
easily preventable. But once you show the symptoms, you pretty much die. There's only one, a child who was 7 years old, who survived it. Do you know what illness it is?
Meningitis.
No. A lot of people survive meningitis. Not that I, but a lot of people die. Really interesting question. Let me give you a hint.
Yes.
Just about a week ago, this man was bitten by a cat.
Oh, rabies. Rabies.
Okay, very good.
Hydrophobia.
But then he came out with a horrible disease that is the cat had a mouse in her mouth and tried to take the mouse off him, her mouth, and then he get bitten by the cat and he showed symptoms of this other deadly disease, and he's in critical condition in Oregon right now.
This other deadly disease. But
this is from having the...
From the bite of the cat, but it's not rabies. Rabies is right. Only one person survived rabies almost all over the world. Is it preventable? I was bitten myself when I was a child. I used to just take the shots. They're very painful, 21 shots. It takes them over 21 days. But once you take the shots, you're fine. But once you show the symptoms, then you pretty much eat the subject. And I say that because we live in this wild area. There's a lot of rabid, mostly skunks and bats,
right,
and sometimes other animals. So we have to be really careful.
But the other disease you were looking for.
Yeah, what's the other disease I'm looking for? So the cat died also, after she bit this man, she died 2 days later.
Right.
But the man now is in Oregon, and he's in critical condition.
Is this a native illness?
No.
It's not native to the United States?
It's not a native. Well, I mean, it exists in the United States. We thought it was totally,
eradicated.
Eradicated from the whole world, but it shows its ugly face every once in a while.
Oh, so...
audience, anybody reads the newspaper,
like a,
know what it is.
You mean like a polio sort of thing?
No, it's not polio.
Or this yellow fever, or...
No.
Cat
this
fever.
Man got ill like only a few days after he got bitten by the cat.
Okay. Dengue fever.
Dengue, yeah. But that hasn't been eradicated. So something's been... That's almost been eradicated.
Would you believe it? It is... what killed most people in Europe in the
bubonic the black plague.
Bubonic plague.
Would you believe that?
Well, yeah,
I remember.
It turns up every once in a while in some place in the world.
If you live close to East Bay Park, it always exists in animals. If you have mice or raccoons or anything.
Well, I grew up next to an East Bay Park, so.
Yeah, I do. I'm right across from it.
I must be
have no house. It's just me and the East Bay Park.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye bye. All right, I'll give you a Disney question. Only two Disney cartoon features had parents of the main characters live throughout the movie. So only two Disney cartoon...
pretty interesting.
To only two Disney cartoon features, because that's how they manipulate you and play on your emotions, you know, like Bambi losing her mother.
Yeah.
Only two Disney cartoon features.
This is supposed to capture children's imagination, not manipulate
and scare the hell out of them, too. Had main characters who actually had their parents there all throughout the movie. What were they?
Mm.
Very well known Disney cartoon features. All right, think that over. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Good. This may be somewhat obscure, but speaking of Nobel Prize winners, coming from the New York area, maybe the Bronx or Brooklyn, what ancestry are these winners from? What country?
You mean the
in Europe, or their ancestors? They are, in other words, first or some generations to America.
Well, you want to say?
You want to say that? Are you looking for their religion?
No, that could figure into it.
I was going to say German,
that.
Jewish, or Russian, Eastern European.
Russia, what is that little country?
Poland.
Nope.
A little country in Eastern Europe?
Well, I don't know how far east, but when you said Russia, you had a clue.
So it's no longer a part of Russia?
It was, and it isn't.
Oh, Belarus or the Ukraine?
Nope.
Well, Belarus would have been a good guess. It's not okay.
Belarus, actually.
Okay. So, like Lithuania, you mean?
You got it.
Oh, all right. Well that's the pale. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Our local Nobel Prize winner, Leah Garchik's family, was from Lithuania.
One grandfather.
Yeah? What part? Do you remember? Do you know?
Near Kovna, which is a big city.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
Lee, are you thinking of Guerrero Avenue for the San Jose train?
Nope.
It went by the Laguna de Dolores, which no longer exists.
Right, but according to this... my source on this, I stumbled across something interesting. So, and since we have 20 minutes left in the show, I won't give you the answer right now, but it says that Laguna Dolores is a myth. And it's something called thinkwalks.org, which is a bunch of city tours and sites that are marked with placards. So I picked up some literature at one of them today. And I won't tell you the answer to the question, but let me read to you what it said about that Laguna Dolores, okay?
Great.
Mission Creek was a shipping route at high tide and a sewer at low tide. It was landfilled to stop the stink. The wide, salty pool at its end kindled the common myth of a freshwater Laguna Dolores near the mission. Well, maybe Laguna Dolores existed, but it was salt, actually. A railroad to San Jose was built along the west bank where blah, blah Avenue is now.
Okay. There's an answer for your blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm not coming up with it.
Right. Oh,
okay. It's a small street. But you would know it.
But the name is familiar to
me. Yeah.
It. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question.
All right, go ahead.
Many cities have nicknames. For instance, San Francisco is Baghdad by the Bay, New York, the Big Apple, Boston, Beantown, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give you a couple of nicknames. You tell me the name of the state capital that it belongs to.
Oh, okay. So these are nicknames for state capitals.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
New Helvetia.
Helvetia, Switzerland, so...
Yeah. So... All right.
Next.
do us this. Is this east or west of the Mississippi?
West. Founded by somebody from Switzerland.
Ah.
Hmm.
Okay.
Somebody named Sutter.
Oh, California.
Sacramento.
Oh, yes.
Right. Right.
Thank you for the hint.
Wow.
How about Pig's Eye?
Pig's Eye, I think I may have heard before. And that, this is west of the Mississippi as well?
Yes.
This was like a frontier town, wasn't it? I mean, sort of a... That's where it got the name Pig's Eye, when it was a frontier town.
I guess that can be said of
most about any. Yeah, you're
country.
Probably right.
At one time.
Pig's Eye. Okay, let me think.
It's not... I've seen pig feedlots in Kansas. It's not... it's capital of Kansas,
well,
Kansas City.
I want to say it's... could be like Olympia, maybe? Washington?
No.
Is it somewhere more in the Midwest?
North, more.
North. Not Helena or Bismarck?
No.
Pierre?
No.
Boise?
No.
Mm.
Oh, well, those are all the northern ones that I can think of, right? We got Montana, too. So...
It's the capital of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, Madison.
Man.
No. Dancing all around it.
All right.
Iowa City?
Minneapolis, St. Paul?
Yes. Well, St. Paul, yeah.
St. Paul.
Oh.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
How about Crabtown?
Crabtown.
Annapolis?
Very good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
And how about Hell on Wheels?
Is that because it was a railway terminus?
No, I think it was just a hell-raising town, Wild West town, when it started.
Mm. Santa Fe, like not Albuquerque.
Further north.
Further north. Carson City.
No.
Oh, what's the capital of Colorado? Oh.
Denver.
Denver?
No. Getting close, though.
Is it Wyoming?
Yes.
Oh, so not Casper.
Capital of Wyoming.
Casper.
Cheyenne.
Yes.
All right.
Very good. All right. That's it.
You are so generous, sir.
You are. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds of a Matter.
Hello, am I on?
You are on.
Hi, I was calling with the same suggestion for the train that ran to San Jose as being San Jose Avenue, but since that was not right, I'm wondering if it's Treat Street then.
Yes!
Good job.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because San Jose Avenue runs at an angle, so I'm guessing that's
yes.
right. But it pops out at 22nd, and then if you look at it, it kind of continues up through Treat, but only for a very small time.
Yeah. It was Treat, which was around the street, apparently bordered this waterway.
So we had a few callers that had little pieces of that information, and they finally, okay, fine.
But the it's interesting what you were saying about the Dolores, because I live on Dolores Street.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Dolores, the piece of water, this magical piece of water, I thought it was kind of like a swamp more than anything else, rather than a lagoon. I thought it was a swamp that they filled in.
It probably ended up being a swamp.
Maybe it ended up as a swamp.
It's a sewer thing, so yeah.
Okay.
I'm familiar with this area of San Jose simply because it's where Mitchell's is.
Where?
Mitchell's ice cream.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very
much. Take care.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134. Leah, do you have something you can join?
Yeah. In 1907, this is from the same source, these street walks, what diplomatic request was made by the Japanese government to the government of San Francisco? And it affects the whole population. It's not like one guy's extradition or something like that. That would affect the lives of the Japanese who were living in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Does it have anything to do with excluding Chinese and letting Japanese into the country? Anything?
It doesn't have to do with letting anybody into the country.
Okay.
It was a local. It was a request made to local authorities, not the immigration or whatever.
1907.
Yeah.
Didn't the Japanese... Okay. Anything to do with the Japanese tea garden? This is sort of...
No.
I know the government donated.
No.
All right. No. Would you read the question once more?
In 1907, what diplomatic request was made by the Japanese government to the San Francisco administration?
Okay. Official
and
government.
And the answer was yes.
The answer was yes. Was it anything to do with the planting of cherry trees?
No.
Right. Okay.
And I'll give you, it was...
I know the Japanese government donated more money than anybody else after the earthquake. Anything to do with that?
No.
Okay.
All no, right. Absolutely not. But it was that the citizens be allowed to do something, and that request... What they would be allowed to do, the Chinese were not allowed to do.
Oh. Okay. All right. So, but they were Japanese citizens they were making the request for? Or they were
Japanese-Americans.
Well, they
had probably come in a generation ago.
Okay. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. This is Patty.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, I have a guest for the Gender Switching Academy Award winning.
No, Tony Award.
I mean, Tony Award winner, sorry. I thought it was different. Sorry, I think I don't have a guest after all.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope I didn't screw that question up.
That was mine.
All right.
Sorry.
All right, bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name's Anne. I'm from San Mateo.
I am.
And I have a comment about the tomatoes, bananas, fruits.
Yes.
Statement. So I'm a college professor. I teach courses in biology, and I have a source from the FAO production yearbook of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And it says tomatoes are actually listed as the 11th most popular produced crop.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there actually are several what we consider dry fruits that are ahead of that. So tomatoes would be the most consumed fleshy fruit. And tomatoes are technically also a berry. And there are three positions above bananas on that same list.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
I'm even more
confused.
We have argued about this before.
Yeah.
Not that any of us have argued, but people...
This has gone to the Supreme Court.
This has gone to the Supreme Court. Yeah.
All right. So here's a sort of a kitchen question for you. What do they call a combination of a knife, fork, and spoon?
Spork.
No. No. That's that. That's a fork and a
spoon.
Spoon,
a knife, fork, and spoon.
Yes.
Boy Scout kit.
No. There's a one word name.
Some of those.
Yeah. What do they call a com? I had one. What would they call? Although I wasn't a Boy Scout. What do they call a combination of a knife, a fork, and a spoon? What is that called? One word title.
I don't. Is it a combination of the words?
That's tough. You wouldn't think so if you looked at it.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm completely clueless.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds That Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm from San Francisco.
Hi,
and
Joe.
I think I have a question about why, or I have an answer about why San Francisco is a gay mecca.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so my understanding is that in World War II, when sailors and soldiers were, when they discovered to be gay in the military, they were dishonorably discharged. And on their discharge papers would say that they were discharged for being homosexual. And so when they got back to port, usually in San Francisco from the Pacific, then they couldn't go back home. And because they couldn't get a job because their discharge papers said that they were homosexual. So they just stayed in San Francisco, and eventually there was a critical mass, and they became organized and created neighborhoods along Polk Street and North Beach and eventually the Castro.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're right.
Could I put it in the pitch for the GLBT History Museum?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Learn all about it, where I volunteer also.
Do you have any idea how many of these individuals there were?
Probably thousands. I don't know.
Okay.
So I have no idea about that.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right.
Thanks.
Hello, sailor. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Lenny. I have an answer to the Tony question.
Okay.
That would be Harvey Fierstein in Hairspray.
That's right. Harvey
and
Fierstein
also,
played Edna Turnblad.
And Dame Edna got a special Tony at one point in her career.
Oh, good okay. point.
Yeah. Good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Tony sounds so chipper. She could have been the woman that crossed the Niagara Falls on the wire.
Her voice sounds good for her age, too. Only two performers have won the Tony Award for playing a character that is a member of the opposite sex, and the two were Mary Martin and Peter Pan and Harvey Fierstein in Hairspray. So, good. Good job. And let's see. What can I throw in here very quickly?
Oh, I could.
Okay, go ahead.
A quick question.
What?
To which famous person's death do we owe the invention of the crash helmet?
To which famous person?
Uh huh.
Which famous person? I mean, is this person identified with that kind of thing?
He was killed in a motorcycle accident. The neurosurgeon who failed to save him was so moved he started researching.
Oh, Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes. Okay, your turn.
All right.
Smart. I can't say smart.
Okay. What is the...
smart rump.
thank you. What is the most common surname that is also a state capital?
Ah.
What is the most common surname in the U.S. that is also a state capital? And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134.
Jackson? Is there a Jackson? Is Jackson
yes.
Mississippi? Yes.
You got
Woo.
It. Jackson. Very good. Very good. Okay. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ruth in San Francisco.
Hi, Ruth.
And the Japanese consulate petitioned the city of San Francisco for their children to be treated as Europeans rather than Asians in the public schools.
Yes. So that they could actually go.
Time,
yeah.
So they could go to public schools because the schools were segregated.
That's right. Isn't that Shocking. And Chinese still weren't allowed to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. For 1907, it's not shocking, considering how they treated the Chinese. And next call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, this is your itinerant poet back again. Since we talked about so much fruit, could either of you or anyone else tell us who wrote the song, "Yes, We Have No Bananas"? We have no bananas today.
I want to say Ted Snyder. Ted Snyder wrote at least part of it. And I don't know. Yeah. But I know I know Ted Snyder was one of the writers of it.
He wrote
what
the
year?
Oh, 24, 25. I'm not sure.
When you say he wrote part of it, didn't he?
He was
write
either the composer.
Yes, we have no. And then there was a debate whether it should be pajamas or bananas.
I think he wrote the music. I think Ted Snyder. No, but I don't know any more than that.
I hope a listener knows, because I don't know the answer either.
All right. Thanks a lot. We have to go.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, time to clean up here. What do we got?
I've got zilch. My questions were all answered in the end.
Okay. A knife, a fork, and a spoon is called a splayed. Splayed. And the two Disney cartoon features in which the parents are alive and present throughout the entire movie, 101 Dalmatians and Peter Pan. Wendy's parents are first around.
But Peter's parents are gone.
No, but Wendy is. I didn't say the movie was named after them. It's the main character. The chef's tall hat, the toque, has 100 pleats in it because traditionally that's the number of ways an egg could be cooked. The number of ways an egg could be cooked. So there we go. Anything else? I think that's it. Okay. If we did not get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We certainly enjoy bringing the show to you. Our thanks to Bob Summers and, of course, Steve Wilcott for handling the board and the phones. And above all, our thanks to you out there for taking the time to tune in and call in from the panel tonight, which was Leah Garchik from the San Francisco Chronicle and myself, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a happy Father's Day and be here next week at 7. Bye-bye.
Wrong, you're right. If it ain't